To turn to Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar or should be passage, one that we preach from often and one of our favorite portions of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read the first 13 verses. And you, what a blessing to put yourself, include yourself in the you, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, it's just another way of saying foreordained, before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What we read here is a continuation of what was established in chapter 1. In chapter 1, Paul, in a tone of praise, stated the various blessings of salvation. There he mentioned that we, the saved, are chosen, verse 4. Verse 5, we are predestinated. Verse 6, we are accepted in Christ by God. Verse 7, we are redeemed and forgiven. Verse 8, we are abundantly blessed. Verse 9, we have been spiritually enlightened. Verse 11, we have inheritance. Verse 13, we are eternally secure. What we read there in chapter 1, again, is a doxology of praise to God for the salvation of sinners. In chapter 2, he continues this doxology of praise by basically giving a spiritual biography of those whom the Lord has saved. He describes what we once were in verses 1 through 3. What we have experienced in salvation in verses 4 through 6, and then how it all came about in verses 7 through 10. In verses 11 through 13, there's a summary of the first 10 verses. He begins the summary in verse 11 by calling upon us to remember, and then he calls our attention to our past. He says, in time past, referring back to verses 1 through 3. verse 12, he says that at that time, that is in time past. So he wants us to remember where we were before God saved our soul. He then proceeds to summarize our saved condition in verse 13, but now. For us that are saved, there is an incomprehensible and blessed difference between in time past and but now. Quite a difference. For the saved, a wonderful and revolutionary transformation has taken place. I want to speak this morning on dead men walking, but now alive. That's what we were. We were dead men walking, but now alive. That's my story. Dead men walking, but now alive. So let's consider, first of all, since Paul exhorts us in verse 11 to remember in time past. So let's consider, first of all, where and what we were. Our condition is described, and it's a condition that we came into this world in by birth. And our condition is described that we were dead. We were born dead. We were born spiritually dead. There is the pronouncement in verse 1. Dead in trespasses and sins. It is stated again in verse 5. We were dead in sins. Dead. Remember that word. Dead. Again, we were born dead. Now he's speaking of a specific realm of death. He describes it as dead in trespasses and sins. This is a spiritual death. Again, dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5, dead in sins. Now many would have us to believe that this is just a mere figure of speech. I disagree. It is a literal fact. I was born spiritually dead. That is not a mere figure of speech. February 17th, 1954, I was born dead. Literal fact. I was spiritually dead. I did not become spiritually dead in the process of time. I was born that way. And so was everyone here. But the idea of spiritual death is an unconsciousness of God, an unconsciousness concerning spiritual matters. The idea of spiritual death is separation, alienation, and estrangement from God and the blessings of God. The idea of spiritual death is darkness, which of course is representative of sin, evil, wickedness, corruption, guilt, error, ignorance, sorrow, misery. We were born in the darkness of such. The idea of spiritual death is hopelessness and helplessness. An inability. Again, keep in mind the realm in which we're speaking. Spiritually. Spiritually, we were hopeless and helpless and unable. We were born that way. The idea of spiritual death is that we were incapacitated concerning the spiritual realm. Jesus made it plain that in our state of death, we could not see the kingdom of God. We could not enter the kingdom of God. We could not hear, we could not understand God. We could not and we would not come to Jesus Christ. We did not discern spiritual things. And Paul states in Romans 8 that we could not please God. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were enclosed and we were trapped in that condition. We also were under the wrath or the condemnation of God. Not only under it, we were deserving of it. Verse 3 says, and were by nature. It doesn't say by practice, it says by nature. And because it's true that we were so by nature, we were by practice. But it starts with what we were by nature. We were by nature or birth the children of wrath, even as others. By birth, we were deserving of God's wrath. There are a lot of people that have a hard time understanding that. How can that little infant, so cute, be deserving of God's wrath? Don't lose sight of the nature of that little infant. It's a nature we are all born with. Left in our condition by birth, we're doomed. Left there, you are doomed to God's wrath. We see also, we're dead. We're deserving of God's wrath. But we were dead men walking. We were dead in one realm. We were dead in the spiritual realm. But in verses 2 and 3, there is a description of life lived in death. We lived a certain life in death. In verse 2, it says, wherein, referring back to trespasses and sins, in time past, ye walked. We were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And we walked in trespasses and sins. So we were dead men walking in trespasses and sins. What does that mean? It means that we were dead men walking in the pollution, in the bondage, in the destruction, in the guilt of sin. We were dead men walking, it goes on to say, according or in agreement to the course, the direction of this world. Why did we walk in the direction of this world? And the direction of this world is Antichrist. Why did we walk in that direction? Because of what we were by nature. We were swept up in its pleasures and the pleasures of the world. Swept up in the practices of the world. We were dead men walking. It goes on to say, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Not only were we dead men walking in the direction of the world, but we were dead men walking according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan. In other words, we were dead men walking under the dominion and the power of Satan. We were dead men walking, verse 3, among whom telling us who we walked among. We walked among those just like us. Among the children, among whom, the children of disobedience, we all had our conversation. Notice also verse 3, we were dead men walking in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling, at least seeking to fulfill, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Our condition is summarized in verse 11. There is a call to remember where we were. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past. Again, referring back to what was said in verses 1 through 3. He then gives a sixfold summary of the past condition of every saved sinner and the present condition of every unsaved sinner. Notice we were dead men walking without Christ. Without Christ. Without the spiritual blessings which can only be had in and through Jesus Christ. We were dead men walking as aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. As our whole nature was incompatible with the people of God. We were dead men walking as strangers from the covenants of promise. That is, as we walked, we were unfamiliar with the promises and the blessings of God. We were dead men walking, having no hope. All man tries to give themselves hope. They do that by comparing themselves to those they consider worse than themselves. They do that by adopting some religious practice, trying to give themselves hope. But the truth is, we were dead men walking having no hope. We were dead men walking without God in the present world. That is, we lived, we felt, and we acted as if there were no God, as if we'll be here forever. And life will just go on. We are dead men walking. Verse 13, far off, estranged and severed from God. At the core of this summary are those two words, without Christ. Everything that follows is the result of without Christ. Christ is everything. He's all. To be without Him is to have nothing. Nothing. Oh, but I've got this and this and this and this. You'll leave it all. You have nothing without Christ. To be without Christ is to be utterly destitute. It is really to live in ruins. We were dead men walking without the peace and the rest and the cleansing and the forgiveness that is in Christ. We were dead men walking without the reconciliation and acceptance with God, which is only in Jesus Christ. We were dead men walking in the dense darkness of without Christ. Christ is the light. You do not have Christ, you live in darkness. And we were dead men walking without Christ in the darkness. To be without Christ, again, is a state of poverty. And we were dead men walking in poverty without Christ. We were dead men walking in the very grip of eternal gloom, doom. We lived in the grip of doom. For you and I that are saved, that's where we once were. If you're here and unsaved, that's where you are. Now for you and I that are saved, a transformation has taken place, a transition has taken place. For you that are unsaved, this is your only hope. That this very same transformation and transition takes place in your life before it is too late. So after summarizing our life in sin, notice verse 13, but now. But now. I will never be unsaved again. I will never be under the condemnation of God again. Never. I will never be on my way to hell again. Never. But now, the transformation and transition, he describes it, is in direct contrast to what we read in verses 1 through 3 and what we read in verse 12. I read verse 13, again, those blessed words, but now. But now. A transformation has taken place. But now, rather than being in verses 1 through 3, but now in Christ Jesus. And just as without Christ summarizes the fundamental characteristic of the unsaved life, so in Christ Jesus summarizes the fundamental characteristic of our saved life. But now in Christ Jesus. That reverses everything that was included in those words without Christ. Everything is reversed for you and I that are saved. We lived in the wretchedness. We lived in the desperation and the poverty of without Christ. But now, in Christ Jesus, there was a time when we were spiritually dead. There was a time when we were at enmity with God. We were spiritually restless and hopelessly lost. Living in the filthiness and the vileness of sin. Helplessly enslaved in our own sins and to Satan and to the world. And we were on the broad road that leadeth to destruction. But now, in Christ Jesus. Those words mean that the spiritually dead, the depraved, the deceived, the disobedient, the defiled, the doomed, the verses 1 through 3 have been changed. But now, in Christ Jesus, we who were gross offenders of God, we who were the very enemies of God, who were ungodly rebels against Him, and who were guilty with no righteousness of our own, living in the depths of sin, living in the depths of defilement, the depths of guilt and condemnation, are now accepted by God. That's a miracle. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus. This is where there is fellowship with God, in Christ Jesus. This is where there is victory over sin, death, and the grave. In Christ Jesus. We were dead men walking. But now, in Christ Jesus. There are no words, there are no phrases, there are no expressions. There are no metaphors to adequately define. But now, in Christ Jesus. That's a good place to get stuck for a while, but now, in Christ Jesus, a remarkable transformation has taken place. We see the source of this transformation. Again, we have been transformed. We have been moved out of in transgressions and sins. We have been moved out of without Christ. And we have been moved into in Christ Jesus. How did that happen? What happened to bring this about? Well, he tells us in verses 4 through 10. And explaining what happened, how we got out of in trespasses and sins to in Christ Jesus. In explaining such, he begins in verse 4 and he begins with God. But God doesn't begin with us. Why doesn't he begin with us? Newsflash, because it doesn't begin with us. It begins with him. But God. But now in Christ Jesus can be traced back to but God. But God. Notice when this happened. But God, verse 5, even when, I love those two words, even when. They were words that emphasize or ought to cause great wonder. They are words that express something that is extreme. But God, even when we were dead in sins. How many times you talk to people and they say, well, I understand what you're saying, they don't. But I need to get better first. Read Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, if God waited for you and I, the sinner, to get better, we would still be dead in trespasses and sins. Thank God he didn't wait for me, because I'd still be there. All these people, well, it's up to you. Well, let me tell you something. If it's up to you, you'll stay where you are. But God, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were dead men walking separated, alienated, and estranged from God, even then God intervened. God intervened. While we were dead men walking, trapped and helpless, God intervened. While we were dead men walking in the wickedness and the filthiness and the vileness of sin, rejecting and refusing God, living as a rebel and enemy against Him, even when, God intervened. God showed up in our lives. But notice what he did. Verse 4, but God. He goes on to describe his character. Verses 5 and 6, we twice read connected with but God. We twice read that word hath. But God hath. Listen to the testimony of many professing saved individuals. They begin with I. Their whole story is about I. And they end with I. Flares go off. Because every time I read about salvation, it begins with God. Begins with Him. But God hath. But God hath. So this speaks of what God has done. When did He do it? Even when we were dead in sins. I'm glad God didn't wait for me to get better. God hath, even when we were dead in sins. So what did He do? Well, He tells us some things that God did. Keep in mind, we were dead in sins. We were dead men walking. But God did some things, even when we were in this condition. The first thing He did, and it's always the first thing, He gave us life. Verse 5, but God hath quickened. Even when we were dead in sins, hath, that would go back to God, hath quickened. Verse 1, and you hath He quickened, or made alive. What does a dead man need? He needs life. May I say that's the only thing that can undo death, is life. In both of these statements, verse 5, God hath quickened. Verse 1, you hath He quickened. We were dead. What does that mean? Well, that means that we were passive in the work that is being described, which is the giving of life. The giving of life in the realm in which we were dead. We were dead spiritually. We were alive physically. We did not need physical life. We already had that. We needed spiritual life. And God quickened us. He imparted life. That is the actual passing from death unto life. It is not faith, it is not repentance or coming to Christ that brings this life about. What brings this life about is God. As a result of the life, we have faith, we repent, and we come to Christ. But until we had life, we didn't do any of those things. We never would. Which means we would have to remain in the state of death. So we were dead men walking, but God hath quickened. That is, the Lord came where you and I were, and He created life as only He can. He created life in our soul. And now we were no longer dead men walking. And now we are no longer dead men walking, but we're alive. We're alive spiritually. We have been quickened. Another thing He did, verse 6, the order is significant. He lifted us up. He first gave us life. Then He lifted us up. He didn't lift us up and then give us life. He gave us life. But God hath, verse 4, and then verse 6, raised us up together. Think about Lazarus. When Jesus went to the tomb, and He said, Lazarus, come forth. Before Lazarus could come forth, there was the impartation of life. There was life. And then there is a resurrection or a lift. We are in a spiritual grave. If you're unsaved, you are in a spiritual grave. But just as Jesus Christ was literally raised from the dead, and just as Jesus Christ came out of the grave by the miraculous power of Almighty God, so we, the saved, have been raised up. Oh, sin had brought us into the depths. But we have been raised up. Verse 13, but now, no longer in a spiritual grave. Now my life is in contrast to dead men walking. Because I have been given life. And because I have been lifted out of the grave of sin. There are some who profess to be saved and they would have us to believe that God gave them life but He never lifted them from the grave of sin. And that's just not so. He gave life and He didn't leave me in that grave of sin. He lifted me up. He raised me up. It's past tense. It's something that has taken place. It's an event that we have already experienced. Now I find it hard to believe that you could be dead and made alive and not know it. That you could live in a grave and come out of that grave and not know it. That's difficult for me to believe. This is an extraordinary event. Not only did He give us life, not only did He raise us up, and He's the only one who can reach far enough down in that pit and raise you up, bring you out of that pit. He also gave us a place. But God hath, notice verse 6, made us sit together in heavenly places. And there it is again. In Christ Jesus. May I say, the only way you can sit in heavenly places is in Christ Jesus. Because outside of Christ Jesus, we are unacceptable and we are not allowed to sit in heavenly places. But He raised us up out of that grave. He didn't just leave us to wander, but He made us sit. It speaks of being settled in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's victory. We were dead men walking, belonging to the world, bound to this world in every respect. In our mind, in our outlook, in our understanding, in our enjoyments, in our hopes and in our desires, we were entirely confined to this world. But now, still live in the world and will until we either leave this life through death or through rapture. But though we're still in the world, we're no longer of it. We're no longer bound by it. Again, we were dead men walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But even when we were in that condition, God gave us life. God lifted us up and settled us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been raised to a life above this world. We have been raised to a life above dead in trespasses and sins. We have been made to sit in heavenly places. That is, now we belong to an entirely different sphere. It's completely different from what we read in verses 2 and verse 3. We now belong to a heavenly sphere. How did it happen? But God hath It all goes back to things that God has done. I no longer live in the realm of verses 1 through 3. No longer doomed to destruction. But now our citizenship is in heaven. And though we were dead men walking, led by the mindset of this evil world, and led by the evil spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, we are now alive. Not only alive, but seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places. That means that we are in the realm where we are near to God. Verse 13 tells us that we were far off. We've been made nigh. So nigh that we sit in heavenly places. How close are we? In Christ Jesus. What a change. Seated. This is victory. So all three statements concerning what God has done. Quickened. Raised up. Sit together. They're all past tense. For you and I that are saved, they've already happened. They've already happened. But not only did it happen, they are presently true. Right now, we that are saved are quickened. The event happened in the past, but still holds today. We're alive. We're raised up. We don't live in that spiritual grave. We've been lifted out of that grave. Not just to wander in a sinful world, but to sit in heavenly places. So they have all taken place, but they are all presently true. I am now spiritually alive, I am now spiritually resurrected, and I am now spiritually seated in heavenly places. They're all part of the but now. But now. You and I that have been saved, what a wonderful life that we now have. And it's all because of Him. All because of Him. As saved individuals, we need to live in the but now. We are called to remember the time past. We're to remember it. I don't believe we're to dwell on it. I believe what we're to dwell on is, but now. But now. Because if you dwell on in time past for too long, you'll be back there. You don't want to go back there. Why would anyone who is in the but now want to go back and live in time past? So live in the but now. If you're here and lost, there's no hope for you to make yourself good enough to get out of your state of death. Can't be done. Left there, you will die. And if you die in trespasses and sins, there is no hope. None. You are eternally doomed to fire. Your only hope is for God to intervene in your life. That's your only hope. And you never know Again, I thank God for even when. I had no, absolutely no desire to be saved the very moment God saved my soul. God just showed up and did a work. So we pray today that God would intervene in the lives of the unsaved, that He would do what only He can do and save your soul. But your only hope today is Jesus Christ. Now, I was out the other day, and there's a sign on a door of a house. It says, it's a pretty large sign, and it's a metal plate. I don't know why you put this on your door, but absolutely no solicitors. And then it gives a long list explaining what they mean by solicitation. If we want to buy something, we'll go to the store and buy it. And on it goes. And in the end of the sign, no Jesus peddlers. For your information, we have found Jesus, so go away. How sad. How sad. Jesus Christ is your only hope. Your only hope. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.